Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's
Friday. It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Let's do it. Let's get into a sports weekend. Golf major weekend. Indy qualifying weekend. Whatever your sport, it's probably happening. Major League Baseball, NBA playoffs, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. It's all on board this weekend, and this is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. Adam Lundy hanging with us this afternoon in the studio. You're connected to us at 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. It is 46862. Questions, comments, or suggestions, go ahead and fire away at 46862. Coming up on the show, Jason Dorfler, new coach of the Leo Lions, will join us. We'll talk to him about making the move from Northrop over to Leo and what his vision is for the Leo Lions football program and the big career move for Coach Dorfler. Also on the way, we'll talk to Sean Arata. Now, I know what you're thinking. We have no idea who that is. Well, we're going to introduce you to a band of which Sean is a part called Downstate. And it's Downstait. Yeah, they tried to get clever. They were kids coming up with a cute name. But the point of this band, it's a group of guys from Southside that years ago got a connection, just fate put them in touch with wrestlers, and they ended up getting an opportunity to submit music for the big walkout music, the theme music for one of the wrestlers. It ends up becoming a big smash, and they now actually have a lot of the presenting music for some of the big wrestlers in WWE, AEW, you name it. And we're going to talk about the story behind the band, how this connection happened. And for those of you going to WWE Sunday Stunner on Sunday afternoon, you're going to be hearing this band's music when some of the wrestlers come out, at least one. They actually do two or three, I think, right now with WWE, but I know there'll be the music playing for one of the wrestlers who's actually kind of a headliner for the show. So it is a big success story that's very little, not well known here in Fort Wayne. And we'll talk to Sean, who's part of that band. Also, you want to talk about lawyer by day, musician by night. He's actually a lawyer. And is part of this band, and he's going to be there on Sunday, obviously, for WWE Sunday Stunner. But he's also going to join our show coming up just after 5 o'clock. Dustin Dopierak will join us too. Big news today. It is a big day for IU fans because Trace Jackson Davis has announced that yes, he is coming back to Indiana University. Not sure that he had much of a choice anymore because COVID caused him to miss the NBA combine and a lot of the interviews and individual workouts in Chicago. So he is coming back to Indiana. I don't know, again, if he didn't have COVID, would he still be coming back? Probably a good chance. But COVID kind of sealed the deal. And so we'll talk to Dustin Dopierak about that. First of all, I want to start the show, though, by thanking everybody out of Parkview Field yesterday. We had a great time broadcasting the show from the Centerfield Concourse. Of course, big thanks to the Tin Caps, John Nolan, his hospitality. He helps us get everything set up. Big thanks to Caleb, who hauled a bunch of equipment yesterday to make sure we were all connected and everything went off without a hitch during the remote show. And also a big thanks to the Colts. And the Colts staff that came in to set up Colts at Bat and the events coordinator who got us connected with Naheem Hines so that we could have him on the show yesterday. And you know what, Caleb? I've done this, I'm trying to think, 4 years of the show we've had. I'm trying to think how many times, because 2 years they didn't have the Colts at Bat. So I think it's 4 years of the show that we've done this remote show when the Colts have come to town at Parkview Field. And every time you meet a Colt player, you are never disappointed. They're all first-class guys, fun to hang around with, great personalities. And, you know, they talk about the culture of the Colts and getting high character guys. And it always seems like the guys that come out and you get a chance to meet, you're always so impressed with. I mean, Jack Doyle, T.Y. Hilton, you can make, the list goes on and on. Adam Vinatieri, who we didn't have on the show, but he was one of the Colts that came in for Colts at bat. And they're always so impressive, so personable. Nyheim Hines, again, great personality, engaged with the fans, seemed to love the moment he was. In fact, when he got there, he was pretty excited that he had just had his first helicopter ride. But he just seems like such a normal dude, you know, and that's what's so great about these guys is they're normal dudes with really big bank accounts.
Yeah. And the thing I noticed, he walked up and I'm like, oh, like he's a football player. Like,
not very big, is he?
I'm bigger than he is. And I'm not that big of a dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you're tall. So like, it's one thing for you to be bigger than a football player.
I'm sure I intimidated the hell out of him. I'm sure he looked at me and thought, oh, I'm running the other way.
But like, for me to see a football player and be bigger than them, it actually means something because I'm not that big.
That's, you know, and that's the thing is a number of them are not. And here's the thing with football players, 210 pounds looks totally different than 210 pounds on the normal guy. 210 pounds, when it's just packaged in the right places, you know, you look at Nyheim Hines, and I think he's listed at like 210, right?
No, he's much smaller than that. He's listed at 196.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, still.
And 5'9". So I'm taller and bigger.
5'9". 5'9". Come on. That's the basketball roster, 5'9". He's, what do you think he is? And he's 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, probably.
They must have measured him when he had his helmet on. And cleats. Cleats will give you another good half inch, right? Man, 5'9". Wish I'd have known that when I was talking to him. We'd have actually got a tape measure out just to check yesterday and see. But what a nice guy. Did you have a chance to talk to him at all? I couldn't keep up with what was happening because it's always such a whirlwind when we get set up and then they're there and then they come wheeling, you know, running out to us and I get a chance to talk to them and they're off to go sign autographs. Did you ever get a chance to talk to Nyheim at all?
We just did the handshake introduction. That's about it. But he's very personable and... I mean, you obviously had the connection with the Florida connection with him. So
I thought it was my producer, Caleb, that you were going to get the digits.
Oh,
you know,
no.
You're going to get his number.
No, there's no way.
Going to get him as a weekly guest on the show. I think he would have been, well, he'd have been in for it for about a week. Then he'd have realized it wasn't worth his time. No, he was a great, but yeah, we had the Florida connection because I mentioned that it seems like everybody in the NFL goes to South Florida during the off season and they have homes down there or they rent homes down there in the off season so they can be by the water. And I said, you know, the practice facilities there's practice facilities all over South Florida, whether it's Fort Lauderdale, Boca, in Miami, you've got everywhere you go, there's all types of fancy, health clubs, you know, high-end, nice health clubs where these guys tend to congregate. And I said that you know, I know a lot of the NFL players end up down there because they get the homes on the channels and then they rent the boat and the house. And, it, you know, it's a nice little getaway and escape. And they can afford it. So why not? I mean, if I could afford it, I'd probably go down there and do that too. But he said, got to wait for the next contract. Very aware that he's got some things to prove so that he can cash in and get that real money. I mean, not like a guy that's, you know, Nyheim Hines isn't making decent cash, but he knows there's bigger money that can be made. And that's, it was fun to talk to him about running back, slot receiver, what's the role going to be this year? And clearly they have talked about an expanded role for Nyheim Hines because right now he's a little bit blocked. I mean, I think he's a guy that could probably start at running back for what, 6 to 8 teams, probably be the starter.
Yeah, he's a great depth piece for the Colts.
Well, he can catch out of the backfield, he can block, and he's much more powerful running between the tackles than you think he is because he's so compact and, you know, strong in the legs, so he pushes the pile. And so he could be an every down back for a lot of teams, and the Colts have to kind of find a way to utilize him as, number one, a backup behind a very durable young running back in Jonathan Taylor, which doesn't give a backup a whole lot of reps at running back. And so the Colts are trying to figure out how can they get Taylor and Nyheim Hines, who may be two of the best weapons the Colts have, on the field at the same time. And one of the ways they've talked about that is putting Hines maybe as like an H-back or as a slot, some type of formation that they can get them both on the field. But big thanks to everybody involved with yesterday's show. All right, Caleb, so the news came down today. It's official. And I guess the question is, did COVID cost Trayce Jackson-Davis a chance at the NBA, or is it basically that COVID allowed Trayce Jackson-Davis to go ahead and make the announcement a week earlier?
I think it's more of the latter. I think this was trending in this direction. All the rumors have been pointing this way for a while. I mean, you could go back to, I think, mid-April, if not earlier, that signs were pointing of TJD coming back to Indiana. But him getting COVID, it felt like, well, he can't participate in the combine. He can't do the 5-on-5 drills. Once that announcement came out a few days ago, it was essentially, well,
there was an assumption.
What is he going to do? You know, he can't showcase his skills on that stage, and he needed to do that to play his way into the draft by most assessments. So him coming back, yes, it puts his professional career on hold, but he's going to clean up on NIL deals, obviously.
Yeah.
And he already has that Hoosiers for Good deal through the university.
Might make more actually coming back than he would have being drafted.
Legitimately. And it ramps up the expectations for the Hoosiers with the recruiting class they have coming in that's top 10. I think I've seen anywhere from 5th to 8th. The expectations are there, and they've been there if he was going to come back, but this will be one of the Big Ten title contenders going into the season.
I tell you, someone that had COVID, not once, but twice, got it in November, got it again in January. I've been to like 3 doctors, and my most recent doctor told me, he said, the reason you have felt like you know what, chocolate ice cream emoji. The reason you have felt that way for 4 months is that COVID does take a beating on your lungs. I mean, it gives your lungs a real beating. And it takes months and months for the lungs to recover, maybe years for the lungs to recover. And then to be hit a second time within just a couple of months, it's pretty damaging. Now, I've also said on the show, 38 years of cigarette smoking did not help me. And so whether it was, I guess I have to say, COVID was the final motivation. And now I am, as of today, what am I? What's today's date? May 20th?
Yes.
So as of Monday, it will be exactly 3 months that I have been completely smoke-free. Now, I sure like these lozenges they gave me. I tell you, I have a new addiction. But it's not cigarettes, not smoking. But the whole COVID thing, I do pay attention. And I watch kind of the COVID numbers. And I know how miserable it made me feel. And so I always feel like I've got a public service to do to let people know what the numbers are. Because I know they're not going to give them to you every day on the news. And a lot of people don't want to report it because they don't want to talk about COVID. But a month ago, we were having like less than 10 cases a day here in Fort Wayne. And as of this week, we're now having over 60. In fact, a couple of days, well over 70 cases a day. So it is skyrocketing. And my doctor told me last week, he said, most of the community doesn't know, but we are in the middle of a big surge of COVID cases. And most people aren't aware and aren't protecting themselves, especially if they're at risk. So I say that message just because if you do have some risk, or if you have a parent or relative or someone you know that is a high-risk individual, just take extra precautions right now because it's out there, even though I think a lot of people have gotten to a point of denial. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine, text line 46862. All right, so TJD comes back. Man, does that set up Indiana pretty well. I mean, Indiana, I think without TJD, I was kind of going through the roster, looking at the lineup, looking at their depth, looking at how they'd kind of combo guys on the floor, and I thought Indiana's probably a third or fourth best team in the Big Ten, somewhere in, you know, somewhere top four, top five, if Trayce Jackson-Davis doesn't come back. I think if he comes back, they're top three and might be the favorite.
Absolutely. And you got to remember, they have so much depth now in the front court because you have Renew, the incoming freshman, who's a five-star. You have Race Thompson, who can kind of help spell Trayce Jackson-Davis on guarding some of the other bigs in the Big Ten, along with Trayce Jackson-Davis himself coming back. So they have so much front court depth. You have Xavier Johnson coming back, and He'll be a key piece. Then you throw in Jalen Hood-Schifino, another five-star guard, incoming freshman. There's a lot of talent there. Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, if he can crack some more minutes. As always, though, what's the key, Brett? Outside shooting.
Yeah.
That's the one missing piece that they have to find a way to develop.
You just took like my entire segment that I had prepared and went through, because I was going to break down position by position, who they've got and where is the depth, and where are they, if they have a hole, where is the hole? Caleb, show's over for me. I'm out. You got the rest.
If anyone can talk IU basketball, you know it's me.
Yeah, I shouldn't have opened up the subject.
I can do the whole.
You control the mics. I can't even get a word in.
I could do a whole like probably hour talking about that team.
All right. So enjoy your hour and 45 minutes of Hoosiers basketball. I'm out. Have a great weekend. No, I'm not. I'll stick around because you know what? I'm going to rep Boiler Bowl because there was news about the Purdue Boilermakers that came out today. Also, the PGA Championship, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Jason Dorfler joining us. What a show. It's a big Friday edition of the Sports Rush here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. And fun to have Adam Lundy hanging out with us. The more the merrier as we take you into your sports weekend. Busy weekend this weekend. Of course, the qualifying will be taking place down in Indianapolis, maybe on Saturday.
They already moved it up an hour, so it's starting at 11 instead of noon, trying to get at least one run for every car in.
So now, does that mean it still ends? Because the key is the end of it, right? Because that's when you're going to be having, well, I guess you're not going to have bumping. But you're going to have cars that are trying to make it into the top 12. Now, how many runs can they make trying, like if a car is 13th, can it go back on the track and try another run to make it in the top 12?
They can.
So there is a bumping for the top 12.
Yes, that's where the bumping will take place, and it's all just dependent on the weather because everyone gets a run through the first time, right? And so you get done with that, and then it's open season. Anyone can get back in line and try to put together a better time. It's just with the way the weather's could hit potentially, you know, 2 o'clock, that is maybe just enough time to give everyone one run.
And if they go back out and they try an extra time and it's a slower time, they have to take that time, right? They're sacrificing their first time or no?
Not anymore.
Oh, Caleb, this confuses me.
Hey, I get confused. I think some of the drivers were saying they were confused by the new format. And the format's not all that different from what they were doing before, but they just added a couple more wrinkles to it. But yeah, it's confusing.
By not sacrificing the spot you have to go back out and try to do better, it keeps everybody with no, I mean, it's incentivized to keep trying to go faster and faster and faster. And so basically they're filling the whole slot. It's not like you'll get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and say, I'm good.
Now, the one thing is a lot of teams, once you get through that first run through, there's usually not a whole lot of track activity because it's the hottest part of the day in the middle of the afternoon.
Don't
the track's
risk
hot.
It.
Yeah, it's too much of a risk, and you don't see a lot of runs happen till after 4 o'clock.
And you probably won't have a faster time if it's a slick track.
No, exactly.
I get it. So there's a little bit of a lull. Now, somebody did say to me that they were shocked that NBC's only giving it a 2-hour window, and that didn't surprise me because I think the qualifying, it is qualifying.
Yes.
And I think, for me, we make a bigger deal of it in Indiana than probably it is nationally.
Absolutely. And they're still streaming everything on Peacock, so it's not like you're going to miss anything on the stream if you have that service. And all people really care about or the bumping, which there's no bumping,
right?
And then the run for the pole, and they only modified the run for the pole because there was no bumping, and that's why it's the 2-hour window as opposed to an hour of bumping and then an hour.
Well,
of
it's kind of like Churchill Downs
runs.
Has races all day, but yes. NBC doesn't televise every single race, and it's kind of the same thing. There's a lot that's going to happen that's going to position cars for the race itself, but nobody really cares about who's 23rd.
No, they don't.
No, what they want to see is, okay, who's the 12 going to be? Who's got the shot at the pole? And all that drama is going to happen in the last couple of hours. So it makes sense to me that NBC just commits a couple of hours of their network to the Indy 500 qualifying. 46862, the Parkview Sports Madison text line. News, we talked about IU and their big news that Trace Jackson-Davis is coming back. And Caleb last segment went through the entire Indiana roster and gave us what to look forward to for next year. But here's the deal. Purdue, of course, Purdue, Indiana, they both have that open weekend because they used to have the Crossroads Classic. And we know that Indiana is playing who? Kansas?
Yes.
Is it Kansas that weekend? Because they're also trying to get Arizona scheduled. I get confused as to which one they're trying
Kansas
to get.
Kansas is set.
And it's set for the 7th. Is it the 17th or
that's
is it before, the
similar,
week before that?
Similar time.
Because I couldn't remember if they set Kansas on that same date, the December 17th date, or if they set Kansas like the 10th and they were trying to get Arizona for the 17th.
So Kansas is the 17th.
Okay,
so that's locked in.
So Indiana's got their date locked in. Now Purdue has their date locked in, and hey, it's got a local connection. I don't know if you heard about this today, Caleb, but what's his name? John Rothstein? He announced that...
This is March.
This...
If you follow him on Twitter, that's a laugh.
Yeah. But I will say this. The guy is incredible with what he does. I mean, he calls up almost every college, almost every day, trying to get the latest scoop out of every college and university. And I know firsthand, he calls Purdue Fort Wayne regularly to see if there's any news on, you know, recruits coming, going, schedule changes. But so you have to give him credit. He really does dive deep, and he cares about every college basketball program, and he always gets the information out there, and it's always reliable. And he announced today that Purdue is going to be playing the Lawyer Bowl. Now, he didn't actually call it this. I'm calling it this. But, of course, we remember Fletcher Lawyer from Homestead, who's now going to go on to Purdue. Well, his older brother is playing for Davidson. And so it's announced that on that open date that was the Crossroads Classic, Purdue is going to play Davidson. And so you will have two lawyer brothers going head-to-head. That's kind of neat. That's how it worked out. And so it's Foster versus Fletcher. The much-anticipated Lawyer Bowl will be December 17th for the Purdue Boilermakers. So you've got Indiana scheduling Kansas. You got Purdue scheduling Davidson. Now, I know the Lawyer Bowl sounds intriguing, but not exactly the same level of competition.
Yeah, I just, like you said, there's a nice local tie-in. Take that off the equation here. Purdue wanted to leave the Crossroads Classic and schedule Davidson, really?
Yeah.
Like what?
And they're
what's
playing
the
it
point?
At Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
They're going to Indy for the marquee matchup of Fletcher versus Foster. It's the Lawyer Bowl, Purdue taking on I mean, Davidson's a nice program, but Steph Curry's not suiting up.
No. And the other thing is, look, and people can trash on IU's non-conference schedule from last year because it was bad. Like, it was really bad. No challengers outside of the Big Ten ACC challenge. There may have been one other decent team they played.
The games they were contractually obligated to play, outside of that, they scheduled no one.
Oh, bunch of cupcakes. But for Purdue, you have an opportunity here. You pull out of an annual event and because you were complaining about it, and then you just water down your non-conference schedule with this? Really?
Yeah, Davidson. I mean, it's got a name, but it is not on the same level as a Butler or a Notre Dame, which is who Purdue would have played had they continued in the Crossroads Classic. But it'll be fun, I guess. It just doesn't seem right being the game that replaces the Crossroads Classic, but it will be fun to see the Lawyer brothers go at it. Davidson, Purdue, that's going to be December 17th this year. All right, the PGA Championship is happening. Caleb, my eyes can't read those scores. So what's it say?
Justin Thomas, 6-under.
He was 3-under today. He's had back-to-back 67s. He had an earlier round. By the way, the wind was like 50 miles per hour earlier today. It was brutal. And Justin Thomas played in that wind and still shot a 67. It was a remarkable round of golf.
And then Zalatoris. I'm sure I butchered that.
No, it's Zalatoris.
Zalatoris. Okay, he's at 5-under, and then they just went to commercial, so I lost the rest of the leaderboard.
So there you go. Caleb can go much deeper into the IU roster than he can the PGA leaderboard because it's not on the screen. We'll keep you updated with what's happening. Of course, Tiger starts the day at 4-over, so he's, you know, the only storyline surrounding Tiger is, will he play the weekend? Will he make it and make the cut?
I'll be surprised if he plays the whole weekend.
Yeah, I think he actually showed up at the course today with a slight limp. I mean, he had a little bit of an odd walk. So I don't think this is going to be the week for him to play the weekend. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you've got questions, comments, or suggestions about anything happening in sports this weekend, we got to take a break because on the other side of this timeout, we talked to the new Leo Lions football coach, Jason Dorfler. He joins us here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Caleb, we can get an update on the PGA tournament. They're back. And I know on the leaderboard, Justin Thomas, back-to-back 67. So he is at 6-under. Tough scoring day today, by the way. High winds. It's actually starting to calm for some of the big names out on the course right now down in Tulsa. But it's going to be a cold weekend. But after you've got Thomas and Zalatoris, who do you have?
Then you have Rory McIlroy back still in third at 4-under.
So he lost a stroke because he started the day at 5-under.
Also tied with Pereira and Hodge at 4-under.
Hoagie. I know it looks like Hodge.
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
but it's actually pronounced Hoagie. There you go. There's some of the leaders at the PGA Championship. All right, now we want to talk some high school football. News came down this week that Leo had found their next coach, and he's a pretty familiar name to those of us that follow the high school football scene because he just makes a quick jump over from Northrop High School, and he also is joining us right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. It is new Leo Lions head coach Jason Dorfler. Jason, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always good to talk to you. And I know, Jason, from conversations we've had, that you've been very loyal to the Northrop program. You felt very committed to getting that program turned around, because I even tried to speculate that maybe there'd be a chance you'd end up at Concordia the couple of times that job was open. But you did make the move to Leo. So I guess the question is why?
Well, there are a lot of factors that played a part, and I'll just say I think what you said originally was right on point. I was very loyal and for a long time to Northrop, and I guess there was just kind of a culmination of things and some things with this off season that didn't go very well. We played an outstanding game, our best game of the year at the end of the year last year against Snyder, and mm-hmm. really had a good chance to knock off conference champions in the sectional, and it didn't work out. But we kind of saw that as a way to kind of catapult us in as a 2022 season, and and a lot of positive momentum, was the hope, and unfortunately we. We haven't really gotten that, and those thoughts kind of creep into your head that maybe there is time for maybe somebody else to try to lead this program and do it the right way. And as I told our kids, there's never going to be anyone with higher expectations for our program than myself, and I'm not talking about necessarily wins and losses. It's just about doing things the right way and having that commitment from top to bottom. And, we weren't always getting that. And it was an opportunity that maybe change could benefit both sides. And, it was not an easy decision. And like I said, that was a factor, but it was one of many. And, obviously Leo is a great community and has a great football program that's been built up over the years, a youth program, and that factored in. And another factor that played a major part is my kids are getting older and they're going to be in kindergarten next year, and with our school day the way it is now, it makes it very, very hard to see them in the fall and even see a lot of them even in the off season. So with a little bit different hours, that kind of frees me up a little bit to see my kids grow up as they kind of enter their elementary school days and time. And to answer your question, a lot of things, and it felt right. And you had to make a tough decision. And as I told our guys, sometime in their life, they're going to have to make a tough choice. And you know, tough decisions come with the consequences of making that choice. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to follow your heart, and that's what I did.
And, of course, I know you've never been one to shy away from a challenge. There's things that can be challenges. There's things that can be obstacles. And I think what you're basically explaining, and I'm paraphrasing for you, is that maybe this got past the point of a challenge and started to become some obstacles. And, you know, when you just feel like you can't accomplish what you're personally setting out to accomplish, and maybe it's best, like you said, to go somewhere else, start fresh, take on a new opportunity. And I'm sure, not only for hoping the best for both sides at Northrop, but also it seems to work out for both sides here at Leo. The one thing is, I don't know, Jason, if you know, but Leo has a reputation of being a little different style of offense than what you have been accustomed to. How do you incorporate what you like to do with what they've been doing? How quickly can you, I guess, get it into what you want out of the Leo program?
Sure. Well, you know, I was telling somebody recently, at the end of the day, football, you know, really boils down to who blocks better and who tackles better. And, you know, that, you know, it seems like everybody, you know, has different styles, but at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to blocking and tackling and doing the fundamentals very, very well. And, you know, I haven't been able to watch a whole lot of Leo yet, as much as I would like, but I know at the end of the day they've been taught the fundamentals of the game from a young age, and that can translate, you know, across many different schemes and all that stuff. And you know, with the culture that's in place over there, you know, it's going to make, you know, a lot of times, a lot of coaches will tell you, it's not what you do, it's how well you do it. And, you know, there's different styles, I know, and everybody has an opinion as to which one is best. But at the end of the day, you know, we're going to, you know, kind of assess what the, you know, the skill and evaluate the talent that we have and do what's best for the program.
Always interesting when you deal with the football staffs, because you've got so many people that are on staff that are familiar with the Leo Kids, Leo program. And, of course, you've had a number of coaches that have been very loyal to you also at Northrop. Where are you at in that process on kind of deciding what your staff at Leo is going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, it, like you said, it's a process, and it's at the very beginning of that process. And there'll be a lot of phone calls and meetings here in the next couple of weeks to try to get that in place. And, you know, we're kind of letting the dust settle a little bit. It's been a busy week. And, you know, I know that, like I mentioned, Leo has had, you know, an outstanding run here. And you know, I would be a fool not to try to get some of those guys, if they're interested in coming back, to help us out, you know, help build or build upon what they've already built and carry that on. And so those will be the first conversations, obviously, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Jason, I know, you know, Jared making the move to step down at Leo, that had nothing to do with the sectional brackets and alignments, but Northrop did end up 6A and got a very tough sectional alignment. And I just want, for the public record, that had nothing to do with your decision.
Well, you, like I said, there's several factors, and you know, you look at you know, the way 6A programs are run, you know, and what is needed to compete at the highest level, and you know, it doesn't always you know, match up, and you know, and like I said, there's one of several factors, and that may have been a very, very minor one, but, you know, it was an excellent opportunity that opened up here at Leo. And like I said earlier, you know, weighing all those factors and things, and then you kind of end up having to make a choice and making a decision. And it wasn't an easy one, but it's definitely one that I'm excited about.
And Coach, how do you familiarize yourself with the talent? Are you going to watch game film, talk to other coaches? Because clearly Northrop being part of the SAC, who doesn't have non-conference games, and you're playing games on Friday, it's not like you spent a lot of time watching Leo playing last year. So how do you get familiarized with the talent? How does that process begin, and where does it end?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just begun with just some film of last year's games and, you know, looking at names on a roster and trying to figure out who's who and all that, you know. And we haven't had the chance yet to meet anybody in terms of the players and all that. So it will be a process. It's one that I'm really looking forward to. It'll make for a fun summer, a busy summer, but one that will be fun to go through that process and get to know people and what they do well and even just get to know them more on a personal level and, you know, their families and their interests and all that kind of stuff. So it's the key word there, like you said, is it's going to be a process. And, you know, that also goes into, you know, hopefully we can get some coaches that are holdovers from previous staffs, and they obviously would be a valuable resource in that regard as well.
Best of luck to you in the new position with the purple. You got to change your wardrobe and get plenty of purple. But congrats. I think it's going to be something that works well for both sides, and anxious to see what the Lions look like coming up here in the fall.
Sure. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Yep. That is Coach Jason Dorfler, new coach of the Leo Lions, making the move over from Northrop. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. A lot of the big names right now out on the course. Of course, they've set this up for the Friday afternoon TV window where you've got the top three players in the game right now with Jon Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, and Colin Morikawa. You also have Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy. They're all out there competing. Obviously, by putting those big names there, if they're somewhere near a cut line, they know what that cut line is going to be. It gives them an opportunity to shoot for a number. It's always an advantage to have, I think, the late Friday window if you're trying to make the cut, and that's kind of where Tiger Woods is going to be. Jordan Spieth as well. He might be a guy that struggles just to get across the cut line. But then Rory McIlroy, yesterday's leader, what is he going to do to follow that up? Now, I think the wins, which were just howling earlier, I think they are dying down a little bit, and it might be more pleasant as far as less wind, but it's supposed to get pretty chilly for Tulsa this time of year. They're talking about temperatures going from the 90s, where it was sunny and humid yesterday, to being in the 60s over the weekend, and Sunday, I think, is like low to mid-60s in Tulsa, so big temperature change, but we'll check what's happening at the PGA Championship as we roll on. Also on the show today, Sean Arata is a local attorney, but also he is part of the band Downstate. And this band has quite the story. They are a group of guys from Southside High School that ended up, just by fate, got connected with a producer that connected them with a wrestler. They wrote some music. The next thing you know, you've got that big walkout music where you hear the song and everybody knows what wrestler it is because everybody has their, and I think do they call it walkout music? I know in baseball you got the walk-up music, but you've got the big entrance music they play at the WWE and AEW and all. They have written now and recorded a number of those songs, and you're going to hear them if you go to WWE Sunday Stunner coming up this Sunday at the Coliseum. I'm going to be out there. You know, the card is pretty good. It's, you know, Alexa Bliss, Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Seth freaking Rollins, and Cody Rhodes. I mean, they're all on this card coming up on Sunday at the Coliseum, so it should be a fun day, and I'm actually going to go do the Tin Caps game during the early afternoon, and then when that's over, shoot over to the Coliseum and check out WWE and the Sunday Stunner. All right, so tomorrow qualifying. Sunday, hopefully qualifying to find the pole sitter for this year's race. We've got tickets to give away. And so right now we're going to do that. We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for tomorrow, And then also you'll have a 4-pack of tickets for Sundays. You can spend the weekend down in Indy enjoying the qualifying. If you'd like to win, and these are electronic tickets, so if you're thinking, well, I don't have time to run out there and pick them up, they're electronic tickets, so you'll get them by email, no problem. But if you want to win, you have to call right now at 447-8500. That's 447-8500, and be caller number 4. We'll go with number 4 as our lucky caller, 447-8500, because it's a 4-pack of tickets for Saturday and 4-pack of tickets for Sunday. And, well, coming up next hour, we'll tell you about winning tickets to the race.
Yeah, and we have our winner. So for the...
For this week.
This week for the race tickets.
And we'll tell you who that is coming up in our next hour. But once again, caller number 4 at 447-8500. You're going to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Indy 500 qualifying this weekend down at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Call us now. Good luck from the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.